You've been listening to Predictably Drunk Smart People Talking About Stupid Things for a long time now. You have, and I appreciate that. And a lot of you, okay, none of you, have been asking me how you can support me and support the show. Well, I have a way. If you go to predictablydrunk.com and click on the amazon.com link, it'll take you to amazon.com where you can do all of your shopping online like you would normally do. But because you took the portal through predictablydrunk.com to get there, Amazon is kind enough to throw us back a couple of dollars to help the show out. No hidden charges, no extra fees, just your normal shopping at Amazon.com. Click the Amazon link on the menu at predictablydrunk.com and help a brother out.
You're listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things with your host, Sam Marcoux and Matt Somerville.
Thank you, Ross Baker. You are the announcer of Predictably Drunk, Smart People Talking About Stupid Things. It is Season 3, Episode 2. I am still Sam Marcoux, and I am joined late to the season. Did not make an appearance in Episode 1. He is here in Episode 2, and that is, of course, the return of my co-host, Mr. Matt Somerville, in the flesh. How are you, sir?
Man, well, I'm not in the flesh, technically. We're on a radio show. But I was just glad to not get fired. I made the cut for season three.
We're not on a radio show. We're on a podcast. There's a difference. We have seasons. We have seasons. Radio shows don't have seasons.
That's true. I guess that's true. That's exciting that we have seasons. That makes it sound official, I think.
Yeah, that's the only reason I did it. I was like, it'll sound cooler if we have seasons on a podcast. I mean, there's no real difference yet, as far as I can tell, other than, I just say there's a season now, but no, it's just it's you and I back together. This is Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. Coming up on the show, we have an interview with David Liu, comedian David Liu, very funny guy. I met this guy about a year and a half ago, and he's one of these guys, Matt, that you've probably never heard of, but he writes jokes for a lot of comedians that you have heard of, and he's a great guy to just talk to. I find myself after a show, oftentimes I just want to go home, and if he's on the same show I am, or if he happens to be there, or if I'm at one of his shows, we end up sitting around and talking for a god-awful amount of time, more time than either one of us cares to admit about just the business in general. And he's got, well, he's got incurable cancer. So he's going to have he's going to have cancer for the rest of his life, however long that may be. And we talk extensively about that. We talk a little bit about how he got started in comedy and what I consider to be a scam. He considers to be the best money he ever spent. So we'll elaborate on that.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it was a fun little interview, and I'm going to miss him when he dies. But I'm glad we got to talk to him because we got not only this interview, but when he dies, when he passes, we can re-release this and basically get two episodes out of one. So I'm excited. I'm excited for that. So thank you, David Liu, and David Liu's cancer. I appreciate you being there, even if I don't really appreciate you being there, David Liu's cancer. So
I immediately like this guy. Like, I've never heard of him, but as soon as you said the cancer thing, I'm like, you know what? That guy's better than me and most people I know.
Yeah, he's actually going to be the one cancer comedian that doesn't get his own special. Like, you know, they've been handing those out to people that are dying of cancer here recently. That's kind of like the in-vogue
thing. Make a wish.
Yeah, like make a wish for comedians. And he's going to be the one guy. They're like, no, sorry. No, we're at max capacity for dead comedians. So unfortunately, he's not going to get his own special. Or maybe he will. I mean, maybe he will. But he will get at least 20 to 30 minutes here on this show here tonight. So look forward to that. And then in stupid drunken news, we have the epitome of stupid news. At least I'm not sure if the guy was drunk, but I'll read you the headline. We'll read you the story later. But donut heist leads to capture of wanted man.
Wow.
Yeah,
that says it all.
Yeah, I think if you're going to steal donuts, you have to expect to get caught. I mean, you're basically walking into City Hall at that point. So we'll give you the details on that here in a little bit. But first, like we always do, the best part of the show, the favorite part of the show for both Matt and myself, and that is what's on tap, because we get to not only tell you about the beer that we are drinking, but also...
We get to drink it!
We get to drink it, exactly right. So you popped the top right before we went live here on the air. So what are you drinking, Matt?
I am most certainly going to fuck this up, because that's what I do usually. I don't pronounce things very well, and this one's tricky. I don't know anything about the brewery, the beer itself. It was just something that I had never tried before, and I love the sound of quadruple ale.
Ah, the quad. I think I know where you're going with this, but go ahead and continue, sir.
Okay, so please allow me to fuck this up royally. Om Gang? Did I O-M-M-E Gang. Right out of Cooperstown, New York. It is called Three Philosophers Quadruple Ale. And it even tells you what to serve, what temperature to serve it at on the bottle, which is, you know, you're getting fancy when you start getting fucking instructions on how to drink. And it's sitting pretty at a 9.7%. Have you heard of these guys?
I've had quads before. I'm not sure if I've ever had the Three Philosophers, although it does sound familiar.
And you know, the great thing about this beer is that a lot of the higher percentage alcohols beer I murdered that sentence, didn't I? Nailed it. A lot of the higher alcohol percentage beers, you kind of get an aftertaste. Like if you're doing like a Golden Drock or like a pirate beer, you get an aftertaste that is almost reminiscent of a liquor aftertaste. And I'm not getting this here. This is a nice dark ale, tastes just like a brown, and I'm really, really digging it.
Yeah, you seem to be very happy with your selection. So good for you, and you've deserved it, man, because you've had, as I announced here on the podcast last episode, you recently had surgery. So I'm not sure if you're supposed to be talking, and I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to be drinking, but you're taking one for the team, and we appreciate that here at Predictably Drunk. So
I just spent 15 minutes fishing a piece of food out of one of my wisdom holes, and I bled everywhere and wanted to die. Feel more sorry for me than the guy that has cancer. Because yeah. That's how I feel it right now.
That sounds awful. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I don't think the only thing I'm pissed about that, or I'm upset about, is not that you were in pain or that you know you had wisdom teeth pulled, except for the fact that you did not actually film you trying to fish food out of your disgusting mouth.
Oh, and bleeding. I should have done that.
It would have been a great add-on for the show. Is all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. What are you drinking tonight?
I'm actually drinking, I drank this yesterday, of all times, and it was the first time. I actually took a picture of it, because I'm like, I'm never, same like you, I'm not going to pronounce this correctly. I usually pronounce things a little bit better than Matt, but this one's a little bit hard. But this is, you went from Cooperstown, New York, I'm going to Orange County, California, to Brewery Tarot, and this is called the Fruit Blueberry. So anybody that knows me knows that I am a big fan of sour beers. I love them. And this brewery out of Orange County actually has a bunch of wild and sour beers, and that's kind of their specialty here. So the Brewery Tarot, I'm a big fan. I don't really know anything about them other than I had this blueberry last night and it was very tart, a little bit low on the alcohol content, about 4.8%. So it's kind of like, you know, if you want to equate it to like a Coors Light or a Bud Light, not in terms of flavor or taste or texture.
Yeah,
but
you should
in terms
never
of,
do that.
Well, I'm just trying to tell the people that are dumb in our audience, because we do have dumb people. I mean, we have smart people talking about stupid things, but we have dumb people listening to the stupid things.
We love you guys, though, just to be clear.
Oh, I'm editing that way out. I'm going to go ahead and change that to something much more complimentary when we get to post. But the point is, to kind of, you know, like if you drink a can of Coors Light and you drink a bottle of this, you're getting about the same alcohol content. So if you're looking for this review as to how to get drunk, there's your kind of litmus test. It's about 4.8%. It does not taste anything like a Coors Light or a Bud Light or anything like that. It tastes like a Jolly Rancher, like a very sour Jolly Rancher going into your mouth. It's yeah, it was really good. I got a recommendation from the bartender. I think her name was Justine or something like that. She was, I don't even know if she was nice or not. She was a bartender. I gave her money to give me alcohol, but she recommended this in terms of a sour. She was dead on. I looked it up. What's cool about this website is that their website here, and I'll put a link to their website in the notes of the show, you know, much like your beer told you what temperature to actually serve it at. This actually has a food pairing, and they go one further. They give you a dinner pairing, they give you a lunch pairing, and they give you a breakfast pairing. So if, for example, if you would want to drink this food or drink this beer with a breakfast food, they recommend your favorite quiche, for example.
Ooh.
So I kind of like that. I like the fact that they give you food options, not for just nighttime drinking like the normal people, but if you happen to be a true alcoholic and you need a breakfast beer.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like the fact that someone needs a breakfast beer, like a beer in the morning. That's fantastic.
But see, I don't ever need it, but then after I read this, I'm like, why the hell am I not drinking beer at breakfast? I mean, clearly it's acceptable, at least according to these people that make the beer.
Right.
So, you know, it's something that we should be doing, or at least, you know, pursuing here a little bit. But anyway,
also that I'd like to point out, like, what is a more surefire sign that parents wanted a boy instead of a girl? The name of your bartender, Justine, like, that's like naming your kid Michaela. Like, you just wanted a Michael, you were set on Michael, and you're like, ah, oh, fuck. You get a vagina coming out of the vagina, you know? Like, that's just a major disappointment. Like, fuck it, we're not gonna change it. We're just gonna add an Ian or an Ella something else, an ah.
That's why I like George Foreman, because even when he had girls, he's like, their name is George Foreman. Like, he's not even, he's like, screw it. I have a name, and the kids will adjust to the name, not the other way around. So,
yeah.
You know, no, I guess that's what it is. I mean, Matt doesn't have a feminine twin name,
no,
does it?
No, they just, it was no other decision other than my mom liked Matt Dillon, and I'm pretty sure I would have been drowned in a river if I was a girl, so.
You were named after Matt Dillon?
I was. That was the decision. Yeah, it was not a religious thing. I think a lot of people go to that. Not at all. Never been a religious family. It was Matt Dillon.
Wow. How have I not known that? Like, I've known you a very long time. I did not know that you were named after the weird guy from Something About Mary. That's...
I think you just don't care, so you never asked.
Yeah, you know what? I probably already asked this question many times and already forgot. So
drink a lot.
Yeah, we drink a lot. In this case, I'm drinking a beer that's 4.8%, but I really loved it. I actually had like three or four of them sitting at the bar last night, so it was really good. So I bought a bottle, and it's better out of the tap than the bottle, just like most things, I think. So if you're going to buy in a bottle, you know, go get yourself one of those fancy sour glasses that you're supposed to have, like a specialty glass for your sour beer. Pour it in there, let it sit for half a second, then go ahead and enjoy your sour. But it is very tart, so if you're not into the tart sours, this is not going to be the one for you. But barrel-aged sour beers, man, that's kind of my jam right now. And this one right here, the Fruit Blueberry from whatever it is, the Brewery Tarot down in Orange County, is spot on, man. Like I said,
it's been a while since we've had dual thumbs up on beers, I think.
Yeah, you know, we've been disappointed by the beer, and this is good. I mean, this is a good thing. I mean, you've had a long couple of weeks here with surgery and still having a kid. I believe you still have a kid, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, and you know, I've had a trying couple of weeks. I've been on the road a lot for comedy, and not to mention the fact that I have not told the story here on the podcast, but I was literally freaking randomly attacked on the streets outside of my house here about a week and a half ago.
That's right. What the fuck was that about?
Yeah, so here, I'll try to make the story a little bit short, but basically what happened is I canceled DirecTV. My satellite provider, satellite cable dish provider thing, whatever the hell you want to call it, in early September. I was done with it. I don't need it. I don't really watch enough TV. I'm not home enough to watch a lot of TV, and I can find what I need, you know, via various other sources. There was no reason for me to pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars every week to basically watch like two channels. It was bullshit. So I finally...
Sure.
You know, drummed up the courage. I called in, and usually you're in for a fight when you cancel your DirecTV, not literally, but you're in for a fight because they want to say, you know, they want to save your business. They'll give you a free 3 months, whatever, whatever, whatever. Apparently I'm a shitty customer, 'cause I'm like, I'd like to cancel. And they're like, okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We've been waiting for you. So they basically say, we're going to send you a box within the next 7 days. And then you have 21 days to send the box back with their equipment. And I'm like, no problem. Right. Well, yeah. I was on tour. I was up in Seattle for a weekend. And then I was somewhere else, which I can't even remember right now, for comedy. By the time I get back, the 21 days is almost up.
Uh-oh.
So I'm driving around doing errands a couple Fridays ago, and I'm like, crap, I think I got to get that in the mail today in order to actually make this 21 days. Otherwise, they charge you for the box that they sent you, and then then also the actual physical cable box and remote and all that stuff. And it's like $100, $200, whatever it is, but I'd rather not pay them more money. I mean, I just canceled the service, right?
So to save money, yeah.
Yeah, so I drive home. It's like 11:30 in the morning. My mailman is usually at my place around noon. I see that his car is down the street, which means he's already come to my place, because usually starts on my end of the street and moves on. But he's one of those, his name's Sam as well, and he's a good guy. He's an older guy, but he's one of those mailmen that like parks his rig and then walks up and down the street. You know what I mean? Yep. He's not a lazy fuck. He just gets out and exercises. So I'm like, all right, he just parked. I saw him get out of the car. I've got time. I run upstairs. I grab the box that's already, you know, pre-taped and everything, with everything in it. And it's a big box. Think of it like two pizza boxes on top of each other,
sure.
You know, like an extra large pizza box. So I'm walking down the street, and I live in San Jose. And one of the jokes that I have is that I live in the bad part of San Jose. Jose called San Jose. And it's a joke, and I have a joke about getting mugged on the streets, which I've never been mugged on the streets of San Jose, but, you know, I have creative license on stage from experiences that I have had. Anyway, point is, I'm walking down the street, and I'm walking towards the mailman down the street, and I'm like maybe 400, 500 feet from the front of my house, and there's a guy walking towards me with no shirt on, hands clenched, and just walking very directly and matter-of-factly towards me on the sidewalk. Now, at the time, I don't think he's walking to me. He's just happened to be walking.
He's on a path, yeah.
Yeah, and a guy with his shirt off isn't that big of a deal. It's like 700 million degrees in California
it's
every single day.
In San Jose, yeah.
So I can tell, though, that he's not going to give up the sidewalk. At least, you know, he doesn't seem like he's going to give up the sidewalk. So I do the gentleman thing, and I step off the sidewalk, and I'm literally walking in the street. Well, I look up, and he steps off the sidewalk as well.
Shit.
And we're still kind of walking towards each other, so that space between us is getting less and less and less. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe he's just drunk, because, again, San Jose on a Friday, people are drunk sometimes. And I step back onto the sidewalk. And then he steps onto the sidewalk, and I'm like, oh,
come on.
I'm in a predicament. You know, like at this point, I know that he has something on his mind, and it's not, please, can I have your DirecTV box? So he, at that point, I look up, we make eye contact, and he just wildly swings at me, like a right hook, just swings.
What the fuck? No, okay, let's stop right now. Have you ever met this guy before or seen him in your entire life?
Never in my life have I seen this guy. Not once in my life. So
is it possible that you ran over his dog or something?
I mean, I guess anything's possible, but I'm pretty sure this guy does not have a dog. He's a random guy on the street with no shirt on who decides to swing at me. Now, he swings at me, but I'm carrying this humongous DirecTV-type pizza box-looking thing that I...
Yeah, you came prepared.
Yeah, I have a blocker, essentially. So I kind of pushed it into this guy, and he's shorter than me, but, you know, he's kind of built, you know, like in terms of... you could tell he's got some muscles and shit like that. So he... Not that I was checking him out, but, you know...
Well, you know,
for the sake of the story, he was a huge dude.
He likes, you know, that's what you like.
So I pushed the box into him kind of instinctually as he's swinging at me, and he misses me completely. Now, I haven't been in a fight in a very long time, so my instincts are maybe a little bit rusty, I would say. So I've just had a guy take a swing at me, a guy I don't know. Now, Matt, what would you do in that situation at that point? He swings at you, misses. What would you do at that point?
Well, I'm wondering if you had said anything at this point, like, pardon, you know, can you explain yourself? What the fuck is happening? It would come out like, but I want to say, like, why is this happening? What are you doing? Can we stop this before somebody gets hurt?
See, this is why I think you and I are on this show together, because we have very similar reactions. Like, he swings at me, misses, and I go, hold on a second, and I lean down to put the box down so that I don't damage the shit in the box.
Right, that's $200.
Now, meanwhile, this guy's out of his head swinging punches at me, so when I lean down and I put the box on the ground, he swings again, and he crowns me on top of my head. And it wasn't like... it didn't hurt at all. Like, he hit my hair, you know what I mean? So he wasn't very accurate with his punches, because I was in a very vulnerable spot, like, basically leaning down in front of him. He could have kneed me in the face. He could have kicked me. He could have, like, uppercutted me like Mike Tyson if he wanted to. But he just kind of came swinging wildly again with another punch. And I felt it on my hair, but that's about it. And I was kind of like, all right, I guess I'm in a fight. So as I came up, I grabbed him by his man tits, because he didn't have a shirt. So, like, I kind of...
Oh, so he's a big fella.
No. I wasn't kidding. The guy was in decent shape, but he just happened to be a little bit shorter than I was. But I grabbed him by, like, his chest, and I, like, kind of, like, squeezed around his nipples. Like, I wasn't pinching his nipples, but I, like, squeezed...
This is a really gay story. Yeah,
well, look, well, then he fucked me. No. I grabbed him, and I threw him into the street, like, just to get some separation between the two of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And, by the way, I should point out, this was happening in front of, like, an old lady's house where she was having a garage sale, and I don't think she even blinked. Like, she didn't even, like, care. Like, she was kind of looking at us like, are you guys going to buy this stuff or not, even though we weren't there for the garage sale. So I push him into the street, and I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, what's going on? And I square up, because I know I'm now in a fight. Well, there's a guy in a truck driving by, and he sees the little scrum that's happening, and he starts honking his horn for whatever reason. I don't know if he was just kind of like, hey, a fight, or if he was like, hey, break it up. But it got this guy's attention long enough that he turned and started fighting the truck. And I'm not even fucking kidding with you.
No.
He turns and he starts kicking and punching the shit out of the truck. And he's yelling at this guy. He had already been yelling at me. I mean, the guy was clearly whacked out on drugs, or at least like blown out his mind on years and years of drug abuse. I'm not exactly sure.
So he's speaking. What is he saying?
Oh, he's just screaming, calling me names. You know, I'm going to kick your ass, bitch, blah, blah, all this stuff. I mean, yeah. So at this point, I'm standing there and he's beating up a truck. And I'm just kind of like, okay, what do I do? Do I stay and fight this guy? And I'm like, no. The correct answer is get the fuck out of here, because who knows who this guy is, what he's on, whatever. But not only do I just like, I don't just turn around and run away, Matt. I actually turned, picked up my DirecTV box, and ran back to my house with my DirecTV box, because I wasn't going to leave it and then, you know, get charged the extra $150, $200 or whatever the hell it was.
Right.
So I run all the way back to my house. I grab a baseball bat, because I don't own a gun, because I'm not a big fan of guns, but I have a baseball bat. Mm-hmm. And I'm standing there and I'm like, okay, if this guy, because I can hear him coming towards me and he's kicking cars and he's punching people and I'm assuming, like, you know, killing babies or whatever the fuck this guy was doing. And he's walking towards me. And I'm like, okay, if he comes into my yard, I guess I have to hit him with a baseball bat. Like, I guess this is what I'm doing now.
Right. Yeah. You got to protect the domain.
But as he walks by my front yard, he doesn't acknowledge me, doesn't see me, doesn't look over at me. He's just screaming, yelling, moving on. And I'm just standing there with a baseball bat in my driveway, like, okay, I guess I'm not going to hit him with a baseball bat. I go inside. I'm kind of jacked up, like, wow, you know, I'm now like super, super aggro, because I was in a mini fight and then I had to run, which sucks because I had to run. But 5 minutes later, the entire street is just sirens and cops and fire department and EMT and paramedic and all
that
stuff.
Which is like Tuesday on your street.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, obviously they caught this guy. Like, I don't see where they're going, but I know it's this guy. So I hop in my car, and I was going to leave anyways because I had to go to the store. So I drive down, and on the corner, you know, probably 500 feet in the other direction from where the fight happened, he's on the ground. There's like 80 million cops that have, you know, weapons drawn, and they've got him on the ground. And there's a paramedic there who had to treat him, you know, like check his blood pressure and everything. And and I'm just in the car. And it was a white guy, but I'm in the car, and I'm just rolling down the window, and I'm like, shoot him! Shoot him. We'll deal with the riots. Shoot him.
Well, I'm glad you're okay, but I mean, the real issue is what happened with the dish equipment.
I got charged. I got charged. Yeah, I said it's not worth it, and the mailman was a little bit further down the road afterwards, and I said screw it, and I just threw it in the garbage. So,
well, okay. I was about to go to bat in your defense, saying like, okay, Dish Network, you bunch of pricks. I think he had a pretty good reason, aka meth attack, but you threw it away. So that's the end of that argument.
Nope. I got charged the $200 or whatever. But you know what? I'll take a $200 surcharge to not get, you know, homeless AIDS or whatever I was about to get from that guy. But anyway, hopefully
his motor skills okay. I mean, just to wrap this up, were his motor skills okay? Like, if he had a knife, would you have been for sure stabbed, or would you have been easily deflecting that?
He didn't seem very fast, so I think if he'd had a knife, okay. I probably, like, I wouldn't have let him like yield the knife and like swing at me wildly while I put the. I think I wouldn't do that anyway. So I think if he'd had a knife on him, I probably would have just bitched out and ran away. Like, I'm not going to take that fight. It's just not what I'm going to do in my 30s. Yeah, no. You know, I'm not a...
You have a daughter? Yeah, you have many reasons to not get murdered.
I have a show on October 20th at Spice Monkey in Oakland. Like, I can't miss that. You know what I mean?
There's the daughter, and then there's Spice Monkey.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah, and also November 11th at Swirl on the Square in Livermore. Like, I can't miss those dates. I booked them. I have to keep my word. So if he'd had a knife, I probably would have been like, wait, man, I've got dates on October 20th at Spice Monkey and November 11th on Swirl on the Square. I got to go.
He would have understood, even on drugs.
I think so. I would have given him a free ticket just to not stab me.
Right. But then you'd have to deal with him again. Yeah. You'd just show up there and stab you.
I would just like tell the door people, like, make sure you frisk everybody that comes in here.
Yeah. Right. No sharp objects. All right. Well, I'm dying to hear this David interview because he sounds like a really interesting guy.
Yeah, he is an interesting guy. So why don't we go there? Why don't we take you to the David Liu interview?
Oh my God, I said I'm dying about a guy with fucking cancer. God damn
Something
it.
Something tells me he's going to forgive you. I don't think, again, listen to the interview. He's totally fine with everything that's going on in his life. So, again, he's a comedian who Dude, the guy brings up the fact that he's got cancer on stage and then sells a million shirts afterwards. I think he's doing just fine with but listen to this, man. Listen to where he got, like, we bring it up in the interview, but listen to where he got the news, where he was in life when he got the news about his cancer. It's hilarious and sad all at the same time. So check it out. Here's the interview with David Liu, and then we'll come back and talk about the donut heist that went bad. Joining me now is somebody I actually enjoy talking to outside of the comedy clubs, because sometimes when you're in the comedy clubs, ladies and gentlemen, as a comic, you're forced to talk to these people that you share the stage with. And by the time you leave, you really don't say anything else to them. You have different lifestyles. You have different things that you want to do and accomplish in life, or at least just not fucking talk to another comedian for a while because you're just sick of it. But this guy, David Liu, I met, how long have I known you, David? Like a year and a half or so?
About a year and a half. We met at Tommy T's, right?
Yeah, we met at Tommy T's in Pleasanton. A lot of mutual friends, as you can imagine. Kabir Singh, all those guys. But Samuel Bates, Steph Garcia, who was on the show not too long ago. But I met David, and, you know, David looks a lot like me. He's a little bit overweight. He wears big, thick-rimmed glasses because he has to, not because it's fashionable. He's a father of a little girl. He travels all over. He's a funny guy. That's where we separate right there. He's funny, and I know people. And it's just one of those things where we would leave a show and it'd be late at night, and, you know, we're walking to the car, just kind of exchanging pleasantries, and all of a sudden, an hour later, we're still talking about everything from the structure of jokes to, you know, how to make money doing comedy beyond what we're already doing, to coming up with new ideas and all this other fun, crazy, weird stuff. So it's just one of those things where it's happened multiple times at this point that apparently I just like talking to you, David. So welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, man. I still remember, sitting there in the parking lot just coming up with ideas after ideas. I'm like, oh, you could do this. You could do that. I was telling you about the shirts. And we were doing all this. Yeah.
Yep, I think you got in trouble with your wife at the time because you were home like super late, and she's like, "Where the hell were you?" And you're like, "I was hanging out with another comic in the parking lot for, you know, the entire night." She was probably like, "Man, I wish you were cheating on me as opposed to talking to another idiot." But that's exactly what we were doing. So David Liu, you've been in the comedy game actually longer than I have. How long have you been doing comedy? Like, when did you start?
I started May 31st, 2007.
So that is close to 10 years ago, so almost a decade in the game, and you know to the day, May 31st. And was it an open mic? I mean, how did you get involved with comedy?
Oh, man. So it was actually a booked showcase. It was at Pepper Bellies in Fairfield, California, just good old...
Rest in peace to Pepper Bellies. To people that don't know, it was a comedy club up in the North Bay that burned down a number of years ago and has not come back.
And it won't come back because that where it is, the property is just haunted, and it's a terrible location. Just an awful, awful location. But yeah, that's where I started, and I started because of a comedian named Kyle Cease.
Okay.
Who people may not be familiar with. He was a Comedy Central guy from the early 2000s, and had a 30-minute special at a Comedy Central Presents that I was like 18 when I saw it, and my friend and I just latched onto it because he actually did crowd work during his Comedy Central Presents, which I had never seen. I didn't even know it was called crowd work. I just never seen someone talk to the audience during their Comedy Central Presents. And it just kind of stuck with us, and he was really random and just funny. And then, long story short, he showed up at Pepper Bellies 2007, April of 2007. And my friend hit me up. He's like, "Dude, that comedian we watched when we were teenagers is here," et cetera. And I was like, "All right, cool." And I'd been wanting to do stand-up until Kyle Cease showed up at Pepper Bellies, like I said, March or April 2007. The months before him coming to Pepper Bellies, though, he would have a MySpace. This was when MySpace was cracking. He had a blog about just helping people write material. He said a lot of comics or a lot of people ask him, "Hey, how do you come up with material?" And he would post these little blogs about, "Oh, you know, you got to find material from everywhere." And he had a bit about pirates on his special, and he talked about how he came up with that bit, how he was on an airplane and saw a magazine cover with Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow, and that just kind of opened him up to that, just little things like that, and I was really fascinated with it. So he shows up to Pepper Bellies. I'm excited because there's a comedian that I know in my town. I was like, "Holy crap, this is going to be crazy." I go. I think it's a Thursday night I show up. There's about 11 people in the room. Because Pepper Bellies, Kyle Cease is a white comic. Pepper Belly is generally like a black room. So Earthquake, some more, you name it. Those guys sold out the room every week, I learned later on. But that night, it was Kyle Cease. There was about 11 people scattered in the room. It didn't bother me, though, because I saw him in the back. He had a little notebook. He was writing material down or doing whatever he was doing. And my friends are like, go talk to him. You said you want to talk to him. Go talk to him. So I walk up to him, and all sheepish. I think I was 23 at the time, 22. Walk up to him, and I was like, hey, man, I just wanted to say hi. He's like, what's up, buddy? How's it going? I was like, yeah, hey. So I read your blogs about comedy, and I think I kind of want to do stand-up comedy. And he turns. He's like, dude, I kind of want to coach comics. And I was like, oh, well, here I am.
Yeah.
So
class number one in session.
Yeah, class number one, performing in front of 11 scattered audience members.
That's the way to start your career, though, is 11 people. Because if you do badly, like, nobody's going to remember who you are because they didn't come to see you.
They did not.
Yeah, and if you do well, then like you're like, okay, cool. It was almost like a dress rehearsal for 11 people, and you can, you know, have the confidence to move on from there.
Yeah, he was the number one college comic at the time as far as bookings. He was doing like a crap ton. Can I cuss? Are we allowed to cuss on
here? Yeah, go ahead and say whatever you want.
Sorry, it's called, I don't know why I even asked that. It's Predictably Drunk is the name of the podcast. Yeah, but no cursing. But
yeah, don't you dare fucking cuss on my show.
Don't you dare fucking cuss. So I see Kyle that night right before, and he's like, hey, you know, come after the show, talk to me, we'll hang out. So I watched his set. He had everyone cracking. There ended up being about 50 people in the room by the time the show started. So he did really well. Anyway, after the show, I go talk to him. We sit down, and he's like, so you want to do comedy? And I was like, yeah, I want to do comedy. So he's like, well, come by tomorrow, we'll hang out. And I'll get you into the show. And I was like, what? You're going to get me in for free to a comedy show? That's crazy. How do you even do that? That's nuts.
Isn't it crazy how jaded and just like, I call it jaded and educated to the business you get over time? Because if you were to walk into any comedy club right now, David, where people knew you, where you've performed, and somebody were to stop you and say, excuse me, sir, it's going to cost you $10. Would you not look at them like, you know what? I'm going to rip your fucking head off because I do not pay to go to comedy shows any longer. But the first time that you get comped or that you find out that you can comp somebody, it's just like a crazy eye-opening experience. It blows my mind.
Absolutely. That time when he was like, he's like, I'll get you in, man. No worries. I was like, whoa, okay. I'll be here then, right on time. What time do door open? Like, I was just. So I went the next night and watched the show again, and it was pretty similar. That's when I started to notice. That was my first time seeing a comedian two nights in a row.
Ah.
And I was like, oh, okay. So the crowd work is kind of planned. He has like a structure to, even though it seems unplanned, a lot of it's structured. The questions he asks the crowd leads to other stuff, but it seems very organic the way he set it up. So I'm like, oh, okay, I see this. Anyway, so afterwards, and this is full disclosure, this is the complete honest truth. I'll never forget.
He's pulling back the curtain, ladies and gentlemen, just for you.
Pulling back the curtain for your audience. And I'll never forget it because he's like, yeah, I want to help you out. You know, if you want to give me like $80, right now, I'll help you out, and you know, I'll sit with you. We'll figure out what you want to do. And I was like, for me, I was working at a casino at the time. I was a blackjack dealer, pit boss. I made about $200-$300 a night in tips. So I was like, $80 to fucking follow my dreams, take it. I don't give a fuck. Like $80, you're gonna talk to me about how to do comedy? Sure, here's $80. So. Looking back, I'm like, you couldn't have just shot me, you know, for free, bro. Couldn't have just talked to me for free. But I get it. He was trying to, you know, what happens, spoiler alert, he eventually starts these boot camps. I was his first student, but he ended up having hundreds of students across, like, the U.S. And he ended up having Louis Anderson as his partner. That's how I ended up meeting Louis Anderson, is he had Louis as a partner, and they ended up doing workshops at the Comedy Store and the Parlor Live in Seattle.
So you're a part of history. You are the first student to be scammed by Kyle Cease across this country. I didn't realize that I was with the George Washington of scammed students.
The first $80 in that jar of scams.
You know what, though? I mean, it's much like it, though. I mean, money back then, $80 versus whatever they're charging, you know, towards the end of their reign of terror, $80 is probably a, you know, a bargain, if you will. I just,
yeah.
The only reason I it blows my mind is because that's not how I started at all. I started by going on stage, sucking major teat, and then having every comic in the Bay Area basically that was there pull me aside and go, whatever it is that you just did, don't do that ever again. And then just, you know, kind of start from there, learning on, okay, what not to do and what to do and how to work this way and how to work that way. So I never went through an official education, but
yeah,
it blows my mind to hear that that people are out there charging for stuff that, I mean, you're a smart guy. You were picking things up night two without them. I mean, I'm surprised. Right. I'm surprised that you went that way in terms of paying. But I guess if you were hell bent on doing it, and you're a funny comic, so maybe you got your money well spent.
Yeah, I will. I know there's the. I always try to tread softly when we talk about like the whole comedy class thing. It's.
Well, why? Yeah. I mean, why are we about to open a class ourselves, David Liu? I mean, you can say that if you like it or not. I'm thinking it's a scam. I mean, every comedy class I've ever seen given on by a comedy club or given on by a comic, I look at it and go, you are a snake oilsman who's selling something that doesn't need to be sold. It's like putting water in a bottle and then selling it for a high price when it comes out for free out of the tap. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's yes, I...
David's like, I don't want to do this interview anymore. Can we talk about my cancer, please?
I'd much rather talk about the cancer than this. But to bring it back to me, because this is about me.
This is.
If I had started the way you did and I ate a fat dick on stage in front of these people, there's a good chance I would never have gone back.
You know, honestly, David, I mean, you're a good comic. I disagree. I think if you'd done that open mic and you ate a dick, because that's the way I felt. I felt like, you know what? I'm never doing this again. I did it once. My friends came out. They saw that I was terrible at it. I can at least, you know, hang my hat on the fact that I went up there and did it once. Like, how many people can say that? And then comics kept going, you know, dude, just do it again. Like, everyone bombs. Who cares? Like, don't beat yourself up so bad about it. Like, eventually you'll die inside and nobody will even care. You won't even care if you bomb anymore. And that's exactly what happened. You kept going up there because you're not going to be able to get that out of your system if you truly love it. So you started comedy 2007. It's going well. You love it. You're going around. You're touring. You're meeting people. You're having a good time. And then at some point you have to stop, correct?
Yeah. So cancer.
Yeah. So there we go. There's the big reveal. So you had to stop your dream here after a while, after paying money, after getting scammed to pay money, after you get hit with the news that you have cancer.
Right. So, yeah, I got diagnosed in 2016. So 2014, I got diagnosed, February of 2014. I found out it was stage 4 cancer in the In-N-Out drive-thru in Fairfield, California. So that sucked.
So you're going to get a burger, which is probably, you know, causing you to have a different form of cancer. But you get a phone call from your doctor, I'm assuming. But back up, how do you even go in? Like, was there something wrong? Like, why did you decide to go get help or treatment in the first place?
Well, I was bombing a lot on stage and I thought something had to be wrong. No,
I must have cancer.
Yeah, I must have cancer. It's not me, man. I've been telling the same joke 7 years. No, I would say for about 5 or 6 years prior to getting checked out in February of 2014, I had a lump on my neck and it didn't hurt. It seemed like it was getting slightly bigger over time. But I was also 314 pounds. Now I'm down to 250 now. But I couldn't really see it because I was so fucking fat. So I just felt it under my skin and my neck. And I was like, you know what? It hurt. It doesn't hurt. It's not bothering me. It's probably not a big deal. Excuse me. So I go to a free clinic in Stockton, which is how every cancer case should start off.
Okay, so you go into the free clinic in Stockton, which is it's probably how you got cancer to begin with.
Actually, I walk in. The guy's like, oh, okay. He feels the nodule. He feels the lymph node. He's like, well, it's either a swollen lymph node or it's cancer. I was like, oh, okay. Well, nice. I can't do anything because I don't have benefits because I'm a comedian and there's no benefits. So I didn't know at the time, though, this is me being negligent to my life. I didn't know you can get stuff taken care of anyway if you didn't have benefits and they'll just charge you for everything, like straight up a new mortgage type, you know, medical bills. I didn't know that. I thought they turned you away if you didn't have money or something.
And furthermore, I would disagree with you about not having benefits. Are two free drink tickets not a benefit? when you go to work at night, David Liu?
If only. if only I could turn those in to redeem, to get this cancer out of my body. So, yeah. So I went on for another 4 years after I went to go see that doctor. And I use air quotes when I say doctor because, yeah, I just didn't think he was... Whatever. So
in 2010, you go to the free clinic. It's either a swollen lymph node or cancer. And you're like, well, I don't have insurance, so I'm not really planning on finding out one way or the other. And you just go on with your life.
So I got a job at another casino in Santa Rosa in 2013, explicitly just to, you know, get benefits. Well, obviously to make money, but to get benefits, to get it checked out. And at the same time, I started dating my soon-to-be wife around that same time in October of 2013. So brand new job, brand new girl. Then my benefits didn't kick in until February. I was getting really bad symptoms for that, like leading up to my benefits. So I was getting kind of worried. So then February kicks in. First day I get my appointment, I go, they rub the nodule, or, oh, we need to get this checked out, blah, blah, blah. Ends up being cancer. At first they're like, you know what? It's treatable. It's called medullary thyroid cancer. It's pretty rare, but it's in your neck, and we can treat it. It's a slow-growing form of cancer, et cetera, et cetera. We'll be able to take care of it. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I proposed to my wife around the same time at a comedy club, actually on stage, which was awesome. And then a month later, they call me at the In-N-Out drive-thru, and they're like, hey, just so you know, we got your lab test results back, because I did CAT scans and whatnot. And they said, well, unfortunately, the cancer spread to your liver.
Oh, shit.
And we can't perform this, because I was supposed to have surgery to remove everything, and then that would have been fine. I would have gotten checked out. But they said since it spread to your liver, they can't treat it anymore. Now it's become untreatable. So now it's incurable. So now this is what you got. So I didn't know that stage four was the highest that it was. Like, when they said stage four, I was like, out of like 100. And like, I really didn't know, because I could give a fuck about, I mean, I knew people who have cancer, but I didn't research it. So I was like, oh, four. That's a shitty number, because that's very innocuous. It's not very scary. Like 97 is a scary number. So four, I was like, oh, shit. Okay, so that's the worst. Cool. Well, and he was like super breathy. Like, he was really depressed. Like, the doctor, he was like, I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I'm going to order this food because I'm in line.
Yeah,
so
how does
I'll
that go? You have terminal cancer. Okay, but I really need to get this animal style. So can we talk about... Wow. So
I really did.
Is that what you got? You got an animal style burger after that news?
I got a 3x3 when I normally get a... I don't really get a double. Double, double. I was like, you know what? Let's go 3x3, animal style fries, animal style burger. And why don't you go ahead and give me a large Neapolitan shake?
And by the way, you know, a smack of heroin, because screw it. I just got the worst news I can ever possibly have. My God. Like, what a depressing time to be sitting there ordering food, which, if you're like me, man, eating food makes me happy. Like, even if I don't necessarily like the food, I'm still getting a chance to eat. And I'm like super happy when I get to do that. And you get that phone call, which is just a punch in the gut.
Yeah.
Right before you're getting ready to eat all this, you know, food from In-N-Out. So you get stage four cancer. They say it's spread to your liver. There's nothing we can do about it. So that's in 2014.
Yeah.
It's now 2016, and you're still you're still here.
Still here.
So how are these doctors liars?
No. So they never gave me a prognosis. They never said, you know, you better start giving your wife all your passwords to your Netflix and shit, because – you're not going to be around anymore. But no, they said, you know what? Let's monitor it. So instead of having surgery, they put me on chemotherapy. So when people think chemotherapy, you think of the like IV and stuff. But they actually have pill form chemo. So since mine's incurable technically, they don't do the more aggressive treatment. They do what's called palliative instead of curative. Curative obviously means cure. Like, I sound really smart, but this is all shit that I've learned over the past couple of years. But palliative means just keeping you comfortable, keeping you happy, healthy. And so far it's been working. I did have surgery this year to remove all the cancer in my neck. That lymph node ended up being the size of a softball in my neck.
Wow.
So I got that out. And it's still in my liver. I get it checked out every 3 months. We do CAT scans, MRIs. And I take the chemo once a night. The only downside, the only thing I feel is I do feel tired a lot, and I think that's just me being fat. But they said it's just, they said it's a side effect. I'm like, bitch, I've been tired my whole life.
Yeah, shit. Apparently, I've been taking chemo since I was born.
And the not so pretty part is I have since 2014, I've had chronic diarrhea, and that's the really annoying part of it. And because I was going like to the bathroom like 12 times a day. And I don't know if you know, that's very prohibitive lifestyle to have. But now I take medicines and I'm down to like two to three bowel movements a day. So predictably drunk. That's your first taste of chronic diarrhea. I feel like this will be edited out. You're like, yeah.
Mad case of the shits. That's fine because you got chemo. To stay alive, I think I would shit 12 times. I'm about 7 shits myself and I'm not even on chemo. So,
oh, Jesus.
Yeah, well, I have a bad diet. But so you said the liver was attacked by your cancer. This show is called Predictably Drunk. So are you just not allowed to drink then?
They never said, I mean, logic would tell you not to drink, but
but we don't do logic here, David Liu. We pay $80 to learn how to stand on stage. So you're telling me that you're in there with cancer in the belly and you're out there drinking.
I should have made that story more romantic and said he never charged me a dime. You would have been so much happier about that. So, I forgot what you just said. But,
well, so you drink, but I would imagine. What are you drinking, or do you not drink at all?
Before I even got cancer, I was never a big drinker. Being around the comedy club and just seeing the margin on alcohol, I just never wanted. I couldn't fathom spending the money on alcohol. So the only time I ever really drank was when people bought me drinks on stage or after the shows, people would buy me drinks. But generally, if I ever drank anything, it'd be like just a beer, like Blue Moon or a Corona. I'm super basic bitch when it comes to drinking.
You are a basic bitch, man. You just described a sophomore girl in college right there a Blue Moon and a Corona.
Lots of Mike's Hard Lemon. Actually, yeah. Smirnoff Ice is actually really coming up to me. Their flavors are out of the park right now. And I'm not lying because they had like this mango flavor that I had a couple weeks ago.
I gotta tell you, man, like those sugary ass little things are good every now and then, especially like in the summertime. They actually are refreshing. I don't care who knows it.
I don't give a fuck. I drink the shit out of those. I've smoked weed for like the last 8 years. I was late to that, but I am a toker by trade. I smoke weed most of the time. That's just for me. That's a better feeling because I've been drunk before and I hate it. Like I've never. It's awful. I'd rather do Molly. I do Molly. I'll do other drugs before I drink alcohol. And even though I'm on the Predictably Drunk podcast,
well, we'll go ahead and edit out all the felonies you just admitted to, but that's fine.
I have cancer, so I could give zero fucks.
You know, is that true? Like, I mean, have you been able to use that to your advantage? Like, you know, the cop pulls you over for speeding, and you're like, but I have cancer, and like they let you go?
I just got a ticket. The worst bitch ticket. I got a ticket for being in the carpool lane. And fucking.
You're worse than Hitler. You people that do that. Like, you suffer in traffic with the rest of us.
Here's the thing. We were in dead stop traffic, all the lanes across the board. So not even the carpool lane was helpful. We were in dead stop traffic. I saw him up ahead and I was like, well, fucking, we're a dead stop. And then he pulled up to me and then pulled me over. Anyway, so I thought about it in the back of my mind. I was like, should I tell him I have cancer? Like, I feel like an asshole. Like, why would I bring that up? But I was like, maybe I'm going to my chemo appointment, but I don't have a chemo appointment because I take pills. So I'm trying to think, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna man up and do it. But the only time it has come into play is when I actually went to WrestleMania the last 2 years, and to stand in line to get autographs, I used the ADA line. So I'm just the only able-bodied guy there. And every time someone was like, you have to go stand in the other line. I was like, I have stage 4 cancer. So I'm going to stand in this line. They just looked at me. I'm like, yeah. And then they just walked off. And I'm like, sweet. So yeah. I got to meet wrestlers.
Well, good for you. Good for you for using your cancer to meet professional wrestlers. That's I would do that too. I would use it for everything. I mean, you've got more scruples than I would. I would have somehow worked it into every conversation that I've had, you know, if I knew it was going
to
have it.
Oh, I did use it at Disneyland. We got to use it at Disneyland, and we got to ride the rides a little easier. But no, normally not. I feel like I should, at least for material, so I can talk about what I've done to get hooked up with, with cancer.
One of the things that I did want to talk to you about, and we'll wrap this up, you know, kind of on the last couple of questions here, David, but, you know, one of the things that I see at shows, you know, people have t-shirts and some are good, some are bad. They got things that they want to sell. I mean, I'm eventually going to be doing that myself, but one of the things that impressed the hell out of me is I was at a show and I left the show and I went to David's show just to kind of catch the tail end of a bunch of friends that were working on stage over at Tommy T's in Pleasanton one night. And David set up a booth for his shirts, and the shirts weren't exactly PG. I'll just put it at that. And the crowd that was coming out wasn't exactly a younger crowd. So you don't think that the two would necessarily jive necessarily with having a shirt that's talking about finger banging and, you know, grandmas and grandpas that are coming out of the audience. But you were selling shirts hand over fist for, I don't know, what were they, 15, 20 bucks a pop?
I saw them. Yeah, I think that night I did what, like a 10-15 minute spot, and yeah, I sell them for $20 without fail.
And I was just sitting there watching you take these people's money, and you must have learned it from Kyle Cease, I'm assuming now. But one of the things that I was just sitting there like, this MF-er talked about his cancer on stage, and now everyone is buying his shirt because they know he's going to, you know, at some point be in a really bad spot. And that's really nice of these people. And I'm like, this guy's a genius. I'm going to start telling people I have cancer so I can sell shirts too.
Well, in my defense, well, I bring up I sell bracelets also that say lose strong and it says kick cancer's ass. So if they buy a shirt, they get the bracelet for free if I have, you know, the setup. But I, full disclosure, I've sold those shirts. I've only brought up cancer on stage maybe 6 times since I've done stand-up and I've been diagnosed with cancer. And I've been on stage hundreds of times since I've gotten diagnosed. So I have a hard time talking about it on stage. Not in the sense of, like, I feel uncomfortable with it, but I haven't found it funny enough to make it worth bringing up. And I feel like it brings the room down if I bring it up a lot. So that night I just happened, you were there when I brought it up because I had the wristbands and I was, you know, kind of in that mode. But generally I don't bring it up when I, like this weekend I'm featuring at Laughs Unlimited and I probably won't bring it up this whole weekend.
Did you just promote your show Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento, California, where you will be featuring all weekend long? Did you just throw in a plug?
DavidLou.net. No, I really, here's the thing about self-promotion. I don't like it. And that's why I'm not successful.
No, you are a successful man. Like I said, I enjoy watching you do comedy. I enjoy talking about comedy with you. DavidLou.net, if you guys want to check out where he's going to be next. He will be, again, at the Tommy T's in Rancho Cordova. Not the one in Pleasanton, but Rancho Cordova, October 28th through the 30th. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Anybody, any comic out there that's complaining about anything, keep in mind David Liu's story. The guy's got cancer that they can't cure. Okay, he's taking chemo every single day of his life. He's still getting on stage. He's still stealing money from people for T-shirts.
Comedy also. if you guys want to learn comedy from, you know.
If you guys want to learn comedy from a true pro, DavidLou.net. You can go to any of his shows. He's going to be at Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento this weekend. He'll be at Tommy T's in Rancho Cordova at the end of the month of October. Bring $80 and he will tell you everything you need to know about the comedy game, the comedy business. I'm kidding, Kyle. If you're listening to this, I'm kidding with you.
It was the best $80 I ever. He took me to the Hollywood Improv before I had ever done stand-up. I cried inside the Hollywood Improv because I never dreamt that I would be there. And then 5 years later, I performed at the Hollywood Improv, and I got to bring up Louis C.K. at the Hollywood Improv. And if it cost $80 to be able to do all those things, then I would have paid it every day. And
well, there you go. No, we're just messing around. I'm just having some good times here on Predictably Drunk. Smart people talking about stupid things. David Liu, thank you very much, my man. And enjoy your shows coming up here in October, your headlining gigs over there at Tommy T's, as well as your feature act at Laughs Unlimited there in Sacramento. And I'll talk to you before too long, man, especially before you get too sick and I can't talk to you anymore.
Yeah, it's in my throat. So it's always, you got to be wary of that. I'm going to try to talk as long as possible. If not, I'm going to be the first sign language comedian, which sounds fucking awful. I'll never do that.
I'm the first one to have a sign language crowd because they just don't make any noise whatsoever while I'm up there. So we can kind of pair up. I could feature for you.
Oh, man. I love you, man. That's so funny. Yeah. Thanks again. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. We'll talk to you before too long.
Yeah, for sure. Not too long because stage 4, but yeah.
You're right. It's not that scary of a number. It should be a scarier number than four.
It's really not that scary. Stage four.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Comedian David Liu. Not sure how much longer he's got on this earth, but I hope.
Jesus.
I really hope it's a long time, man. I really do, because the guy is very funny. He's helped me with jokes. He's kind of like rewritten some of my premises and made them better. He's just a real good guy, and he's traveling all over the country right now, doing shows in Texas, doing shows in California, doing shows all over the place. So. He's headlining some shows at Tommy T's, if you didn't hear it in the interview. So I'll put a link to the tickets in there. So you guys go support this guy. He's got cancer, goddammit.
Yeah. I mean, you think you're going to get a fucking double and you just get a double dose of cancer. It's fucked up.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, he was buying the food that was supposed to give him cancer later, not immediately. It was supposed to be a slow thing. But thanks again to David Liu for being on the show. Two incredible interviews back to back. David Liu and then Steph Garcia last week, which, by the way, if you haven't listened to that, go check it out. And her show has debuted on the Food Network called Worst Bakers in America. And Matt, you used to work on reality TV shows, did you not?
That's correct. I did.
Yeah. Yep. So you've worked on some. You worked on Top Chef. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I did. And then I refused to work on one ever again.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like crazy because I've never worked on a reality show. But in talking to you and seeing, you know, my fair share of reality game shows and reality TV shows and all that stuff, you start to kind of see certain tropes that happen within that genre. And, you know, there's certain things that they have to cover up. And one of the things, if you haven't seen the show, there's a lady on there. There's 12 contestants. And one of them, she's like a 62 year old grandmother. She's a choir singer. And she sings when she talks. Like, so she has to go do that. She has to go do the confessional stuff, right? Like, you always got to do talk to people, like that situation room about, okay, now tell us what you were thinking when this happened on the show. Yep. And then they splice it in, and you know, you kind of get that reality TV show formula. Well, she sings when she talks, and I don't know if that's producer driven or if that's just her. I don't know, but
either way, go fuck yourself. Yeah. Whoever made that decision, fuck you.
Yeah, it's a very annoying situation, but she's clearly the star of the first episode. It's her and one other lady that they have the most time on. She's in the bottom, you know, four or whatever, and she eventually moves on to the next round, and she sings her way throughout the entire thing, and it's very annoying. But the thing that I noticed, and if you haven't seen it, I'm sure they're going to replay it on the Food Network multiple times, but She's older, and she's cooking, and she has Band-Aids all over her arms.
And, what the fuck is happening?
And you can see red, so, like, it's a very quick cut, but, like, you know, she's stirring something to make cookies, and you see these Band-Aids, and you're like, is she bleeding all over the food? Because that would be a qualification to be one of the worst bakers in America, as far as I'm concerned. But I actually think it was like some sort of skin thing that she had going on, you know?
Jesus.
So they cover it up because it probably doesn't look good on the camera to have like red splotches and shit like that. But I was...
Listen, the problem with this is that David ends up with cancer, and this fucking lady gets to go on and be on TV. Like, fuck that. That's the biggest injustice I can think of. She's bleeding all everybody's fucking cookies and singing her way and God. Like, just kid. Transfer cancer. That's that invention needs to be developed. A machine that just fucking takes cancer out of one person and just injects it into another who really deserves it.
Like a cancer transfer gun. Like I'm thinking of, like, you know, when you go through the supermarket and they're tagging all the fruit and everything with that gun. Like, you should be able to walk up to somebody, scan them, and they have cancer, and you're like, well, you're kind of a good person, so I'm going to take that. And then you go to somebody who's not a good person, like that motherfucker who attacked me on the street, and just shoot them with cancer. I like it. That's a good invention.
Yeah, like, what's that app that transfers money? PayPal, the PayPal of cancer. That needs to happen.
Yeah, we should make that happen, and then we can quit this podcast and then just roll in dough. And that, you know, we're killing people with cancer. We could be criminals.
Yeah, but people who deserve it,
right? Like,
that's where we're justified.
Like the guy in Hobbs, New Mexico, who was arrested by trying to steal a donut, and turns out the entire police department happened to be at the donut shop, which, like, that's a guy you should probably inject with cancer, I would assume.
Now, let's back it up, because you used the word heist
earlier.
And that is a big implication. There are details here that would insinuate a heist. I need to know them. Let's hear it.
Well, the thing is this is out of Hobbs, New Mexico. And if you've never been to New Mexico, Matt, I'm not sure if you have or haven't.
Been to Calvin, New Mexico.
Well, that's terrible. But
sorry.
The problem with New Mexico, or maybe the good thing about New Mexico, is there's really not a whole lot of anything going on outside of Santa Fe and Albuquerque. And I have been to both Santa Fe and Albuquerque, and even the things that are going on there, Matt, aren't necessarily, you know, what I would consider big city living, put it that way.
What were you or anyone else doing in those places?
Matter of fact, in I believe in Santa Fe, they have a movie lot there, which you should know, Mr. Hollywood Insider, where they they actually filmed such iconic movies like Tombstone.
Oh, okay.
So that's where the whole movie of Tombstone took place.
Again, the question is, what were you doing there?
I was actually at a wedding at that very movie lot, that Western movie lot.
Oh, was that the Guns N' Roses wedding?
That was my cousin's wedding, yes. And that's where Guns N' Roses actually filmed part of November Rain, where that little chapel is, where Slash does his huge solo. That is at this place as well. So it's a pretty iconic movie set, to be honest with you. But
majorly cool wedding too. I gotta give props to your cousin.
Yeah, it was a really cool wedding. So shout out to Ramen, who's not listening to this because he actually lives in New Mexico, so this is probably something that made news for him locally. But here we are, stupid drunken news, Hobbs, New Mexico. This happened on I believe Monday of this week. So authorities say a fugitive sweet tooth helped police capture a wanted New Mexico man after he tried to take a donut without paying for it. And there's your heist right there. The Hobbs News Sun reports that Gregory Mendoza was arrested Monday outside a bakery after police received a report he stole a donut. Police then discovered the 35-year-old Mendoza was wanted on a number of charges, including cruelty to animals and traffic violations. So this guy's just a mess. He's out there.
Piece of shit.
Stealing donuts, kicking puppies, and running red lights. I mean, he's basically me, but with, you know, a record that's getting caught. New Mexico court records show Mendoza has 10 pending charges out of Carlsbad Magistrate Court from July. So he has 10 charges from July alone. Mendoza also has charges pending in Las Vegas, including aggravated fleeing a law enforcement officer. So I'm not sure what aggravated fleeing a law enforcement officer is, but I'm pretty sure it's the cop saying, hey, stop, and him saying, fuck you, copper, and then running away.
I like how he uses the 1940s copper language.
Well, he was,
that's good.
He was just on a donut heist, Matt, so I assume he's using the
I guess, you know, so
lexicon of that language. So
if this was Stephen King's The Stand, this dude would definitely end up on the not the black lady's side. He would end up on the devil's side, for sure.
My favorite part of all of these news replies, you know, these things that we talk about, like the stupid drunken news, is that I did the one last week where the lady was, she took a taxi cab after robbing a Chick-fil-A or whatever the hell it was. I can't even remember what it was. No, it was an Arby's. It was an Arby's, and she took a taxi cab, and they caught her with $220. And then the last sentence said, it is unknown if she has a lawyer or not. I'm like, chances are we know she does not have a lawyer.
I would say if you're robbing Chick-fil-A's, the cab situation also would enlighten to that. No lawyer, no so, legal representation.
So much like the news story last week on this episode one of season three, the last sentence of this press release for Gregory Mendoza, who has at least 11, if not 12, pending charges of varying crimes, says it was not known if Mendoza had an attorney. Once again, I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts, pun intended, that he does not. I assume a public defender will soon have a new case on their desk there. So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Police catch a man stealing a donut. And I have to think, if you're a criminal and you've clearly gotten away with all these other issues, right? You have 10 pending charges out of Carlsbad and a couple more out of Las Vegas. You know how to get away from cops. You know where cops are. So why would you go to a donut shop and try to steal a donut? Like, the cops are not going to be there. I mean, there's a reason why that's a cliche, sir.
I mean, why a fucking donut? Like, is it really worth it? And it's a donut. It's 90 cents. Just beg outside for 5 minutes. You can get your 90 cents. You can buy your donut. I mean, I get the criminal mindset. You get away with shit. You want to keep doing that. You get away with something. You move on. You say, I got away with that thing. I can do more. Let's do that. But why go to donut, though? That's a step down. That's regression. You get away with something. You move up. You don't move down.
Yeah, you don't go from killing bunny rabbits to stealing donuts. It seems like it's the wrong order. Yeah, maybe he was trying to work his way back to a normal society member. But part of me now thinks, you know what? Next time I get drunk, I'm going to go to Hobbs, New Mexico, find this bakery, and find out what all the fuss is about.
Maybe they're really good.
They could be. They could be very good. Much like this episode of Predictably Drunk was very good. Matt, you were very good on this episode.
You as well. I had a lot of fun. I feel like I, you know, I all the way back to season two, whenever the fuck that was, I feel like I feel refreshed. I feel like this is therapy for me. This just really felt great. Thank you for not getting rid of me on the new season. I appreciate that, Sammy.
Well, you know who was not good? I mean, if we can be honest, because I was good and you were good. And there's a third member of this team that was not good.
Fucking Ross Baker.
And it was Ross Baker. Ross, you were not good. And matter of fact, I'm going to be in Reno, Nevada this weekend, a couple days from when you guys are all listening to this show. My plan is to sit down with Ross Baker and find out how we can make Ross great again.
Yeah. He needs a little trumping.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. We're going to sit down and talk to him because I need to see what's going on with Ross Baker in his life. I think we may turn it into an actual full-blown interview with Ross Baker. So if you guys are used to the sexy man voice at the beginning and end of the show, get ready because he might be showing up during happy hour for a full-blown interview as well. So,
I would love to be a part of that, by the way. Can I be there?
Come to Reno this weekend.
Okay, just hop in the car. Fucking easy.
Yeah, no, not a problem at all. You're only 400 miles away.
I only don't have a baby.
Yeah, well, you know what? You know what you can do? You can come to my show on October 20th at the Spice Monkey in Oakland, California, as well as the Swirl on the Square on November 11th, which is a Friday. Free show, actually, ladies and gentlemen. That is a free show just for you. So you guys can go to the shows. It is charity. They're paying me up front, so I don't care what are they doing with tickets. That's why it's free. I was like, make it free. You're paying me. I don't know. But anyway, that is the show. Stay tuned. We've got a bunch more of these shows coming up here on this season of Predictably Drunk. But until then, Matt, unless you got anything else you would like to say.
No, I think I'm bleeding out of my mouth again, so it's good that we're ending.
Yeah, it's good that we're ending because it sounds like Matt's mouth is ending as we speak. Until next time, keep drinking.
You've been listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things with your host, Sam Marcoux, and that other guy. What was his name again? Oh, it doesn't matter. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And find the complete catalog on predictablydrunk.com. Until next time, keep drinking. Passenger, that's parasitic. I don't think that anyone or anything is good enough. We perceive the life we live in terms of all the gifts we kill. I don't see a light at the end of this tunnel. I'll take me out and tear me down, cause you were never good enough.
So, Matt, since we are in season three of Predictably Drunk, usually when you have seasons, whether it's a television show or anything else going on, you introduce new things, whether it's new character, new storylines, new whatever. We don't really have storylines because this is just you and I talking about stupid things, but we are going to introduce a new segment. This is an idea that you brought up. I think it's a good idea, and you are in the movie industry, and you love movies. And you're going to go ahead and recommend a movie for our audience. So when they're drinking, sitting at home, looking bored, what to do, this is something they can watch this week based on your recommendations, based on your expertise. We don't have a name for this segment yet. Like when we interview somebody, it's called Happy Hour. We have Stupid Drunken News. We have What's on Tap when we actually review the beer. But we don't have anything for this segment. Would you like to name your segment, or what do you want to do here?
I just spit on my computer. Why did I do that? That's really gross.
That's kind of a long title for, and kind of misleading for what we were just
sorry.
Talking about.
I don't know. I'm horrible naming things. It's, you know, the name of my son, it took for fucking ever. I'm not even sure if it was the right choice. I can change it later, right? Is that real? Can I do that? Can I legally change the name of my son? Should I feel like doing that? I should.
You could do whatever you want, but you cannot change the name of this, of the title of this segment. No, you can do whatever you want. I mean, it's your segment. This is your idea.
Matt says a movie thing. The end. That's the name of it. That's going to be the, Matt says a movie thing.
Matt says a movie thing. Okay, that works.
Yeah, that's so, the first thing that jumped in there. Not very creative, not very smart. I've been drinking. Fuck off. Don't judge me.
You know, this is technically going on after the credits of the show. So Matt says a movie thing. You know, it's this is a working title, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll work on it maybe, and if not, fuck off.
Yeah, there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Also so, part of the title. So anyway, since it's October, folks, and this is gonna be a part of the show, I think, moving forward. We're you know, we wing it. That was the second name for Predictably Drunk. It was either Predictably Drunk or We're Winging This Shit, Assholes. Deal with it. And it's October, start of season 3. Figure might as well weigh in on the horror movies. As some of you may have noticed, a new Blair Witch has surfaced. You've probably seen trailers. For anybody that's really paying attention, you'll know that it was called The Woods originally, and people thought, "Oh, what's this original premise that I'm totally intrigued by?" And then it was revealed to be just a remake of a movie that we've already all seen, and which is truly upsetting because it's a remake of something that really took us by storm back in 1999 because most people thought it was real. The marketing was so good for that film that people were scared thinking this shit was real. To remake something like that 17 years later kind of makes people it's like calling everyone fucking stupid, like as if they just had no idea that things happened 17 years ago. I have not seen The Blair Witch, and I refuse to do so. The remake, people tell me it's garbage, awful, horrible. Skip it, and to jump start your horror movie month of October, jump in with the original Blair Witch, man. It's, I think, you know what? You could probably find it online. You can dig into the original marketing material, get yourself a little spooked, even though you know it's not real, and dig into the movie. It's a lot of fun. It's very suspenseful. It's creepy as shit. You can skip the sequel. I'm not talking about the remake. I'm talking about Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows. I'm pretty sure all copies of that have been fucking burned anyway because of how atrocious it was. Just watch the original and have yourselves a good, scary, fun time. And we'll check in next week for another horror recommendation.
You know, I really liked that original movie, and I'm glad you picked it because there's a funny story attached to when I saw this. I saw it in a movie theater, which I never go to anymore, but I was in 1999, obviously I did, and I went with my older sister, Stacy, and Stacy happens to be about 4 years older than I am, and Stacy's very susceptible to jumping and scary things and getting sucked into movies that, you know, create some sort of emotional reaction out of the audience, whether it's happy, sad, funny, whatever. She gets really into the movie, so she's a really good movie-going customer for movie studios because she does exactly what they want them to do. She spends money, she gets invested, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We went and saw The Blair Witch together, and it's not one of those movies where people, like, you know, you're scared all the time because, you know, they do the musical cues and right, quick movie, you know, edit to where all of a sudden something's popping up and you get that, like, shit your pants moment. But what ends up happening, it's one of those psychological horror movies where later when you're driving home, you're kind of like freaked out a little bit about it if you're on a windy road or something like that. So we were driving back to, at the time, I was still living at my parents' house. I was 17. My sister was living there. I think she just moved back or was just getting ready to move out or something like that. So mm-hmm. We went and saw the movie. And in the movie, there's these piles of rocks, right, which is kind of symbolic of the Blair Witch being around. So I, being the lovely younger brother, picked up a bunch of rocks outside of the house and actually put them in a pile in front of Stacy's bedroom door.
Yes.
So that when she would wake up in the morning, she would freak the hell out, which is exactly what she did. And then she got the last laugh as she picked up the rock and threw it and hit me in the face.
Oh, ow.
So the Blair Witch happens to be my sister because she threw rocks.
It inspires violence. Go see it.
Yeah, it's a fantastic. I like that. It's good recommendation. So there you go. That is the very first, I guess, installment of Matt Says a Movie Thing.
All right. I hope you guys enjoy. Have a fun and safe time. And by that, I mean don't throw rocks at people.
That's not nice. Don't do that. Or attack them on the street when they're trying to get to their mailman.
Fucking Jesus. I think he just wanted your satellite dish.
Maybe. I think he was sent from DirecTV. That's why they were so easy to cancel it on the phone, because it's like, oh, we're just going to send a customer retention service rep, and he's just going to punch me in the face.
By the way, we gave him a bunch of meth before we sent him over to your house.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the San Jose way. And I don't know how to end this, because we already did the ending. So do we just stop talking?
Yeah.
Okay, let's just stop talking then.
I'm pretty sure I bled into my beer. That's not fucking cool at all.
It's so gross.
It's really gross. Here's the grosser thing. I'm going to drink it.
Yeah, well, you know.
It came out of my body. I'm just putting it back in.
Yeah, you know, it's true. It's recycling.